Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Oh,
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, today on It's My House, we're going to, what I'm going to put out here, at least from my point of view, 10 strategies to prevent homelessness, including evictions and foreclosures. Now, let me put an asterisk on this. Now, if a person has a substance abuse problem, they would have to get control of that, I imagine, first before they can implement these 10 strategies. Or there's mental illness. Now, I'm not a physician, a healthcare, a mental health. I'm not a social worker, nothing like that. So this is assuming you or the person that you might be interested in sharing this information with, they don't have a severe substance abuse problem or in need of a social worker. All right. And let me throw out the question of the day. I sort of see this world as, let me put it this way. Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, I'm going to throw in Aliko Dangote. Aliko Dangote is the rich, wealthiest, actually the wealthiest black person on the planet out of Nigeria. These guys are all billionaires. And Dangote, Gates, and Zuckerberg, I think Musk also. These are like first-generation billionaires. So my question of the day is, I think there's only two distinctions between those guys that I just named and yourself or anybody walking around the planet. They're less than 3,500 billionaires on the planet. Now, we got 8 billion people on the planet now, and counting, but less than 3,500 of them, 3,500, less than that are actually, billionaires. But I got to thinking about it, and really, there's only two little distinctions between, I mean, a first grader or even a kindergartner to get this one. There are only two little distinctions between a billionaire and a person who might be homeless or down on his luck. It's only two little distinctions. So if you can guess what those two are, 619-768-2945, everybody within the sound of my voice, if you recognize these two little distinctions that anybody can do, barring they're not mentally ill or have or handicapped by a severe substance abuse issue, these two little things, you can become a billionaire if that's what you want to be. All right. No college degree required on top of that. 619-768-2945 if you want to take a stab at what are those two little distinctions that you can, if you apply it to your life, you can be a billionaire. All right, now, today, 10 strategies to prevent homelessness. All right. Number one, I call it the 5-stone strategy. This is based off of, and I'm not a religious person. I haven't set foot physically inside of a church in over 10 years. But anyway, I call this the 5-stone strategy. It's based on David and Goliath. Now, the Bible is written in heavy symbology, allegories and symbology. So we're going to use the story of David and Goliath. And essentially, now I'm interpreting this story my way. All right. David facing Goliath represents somebody that might have that it appears to have limited resources, and they have to fight this giant who has many resources, and it's like, you know, David and Goliath, how can you defeat or achieve the impossible? Well, David, and I'm giving you my interpretation of this story, my street version, my It's My House version. He had a 5-stone strategy, 5-stone strategies. Now, he only needed one of the, he only used one of those strategies to defeat Goliath. But how can this apply to you in 2023 and beyond? All right. If you're facing a foreclosure, if you're facing an eviction, if you're facing a utility shutoff, if you're facing some type of financial calamity in your life or whatever, you need to sit down, get quiet, and come up with 5 strategies that will help you defeat or overcome whatever situation that you're dealing with. Now, since I went to the Bible on this one, one of those strategies could be a spiritual one. So for some people, you know, it could be prayer. And what I recommend, get you a little notebook, make it a prayer journal, and make it a prayer project. Whatever it is, reduce it down to writing and pray over that particular situation at least once a day. But you need to be consistent day after day after day. Date it, by the way. Date it. And that's the spiritual stone. Number two, you need to plug into somebody more positive than you or somebody who's passed through that situation before. You know, if a person has been was facing foreclosure or facing eviction but didn't get evicted or didn't get foreclosed on, how did they do it? Plug into them, plug into a whole lot of them. You know, build up some social capital, make some friends, And so you can plug in somebody who's been through that successfully. That's stone number two. All right. Stones number three, four, and five is get online, go to the library, pick back up with people who've gone through it successfully, and pick out three strategies that you can execute, all right, so you can overcome whatever you need. One example would be, and let's just break this stone down in modern contemporary times. And these guys are billionaires, by the way. The guys who go on go on YouTube and look up videos particularly dealing with the founders of Airbnb. There's three founders, but I'm going to strip it down to two. Two of these guys were roommates in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they were behind on their rent. And, San Francisco is a very expensive rent market, and they were facing eviction. So one of them came up with the idea, there is some type of convention coming to town, and we got three bedrooms, so let's rent out our bedrooms to these convention goers and make the money that way. That was their strategy, okay? Rent out the bedrooms that they already had. And that's the beauty of these strategies. You already have what you need to overcome that eviction, to prevent that eviction from foreclosing. You might not recognize it, but you've got that already. All right. So what they did was one of them came up with a one-page website, and they probably took out an ad in a networking thing for this particular convention, and they got three people to rent the rooms. And they put air mattresses in each one of the rooms because the original name was Air Bed and Breakfast. Now we just call it Airbnb. So that strategy saved them from getting put out on the street. So in order to keep the cash flow running, they kept things going for people coming into town. And then somebody said to them, mind you, they did not think this up. Somebody that knew them said, why don't you try it in other areas in the county or the Bay Area? So they tried that, and their income went up. All right? This is another part of the stone, okay? You got to think big. You're not going to solve a big problem with a small mindset. You've got to increase your thinking. You've got to increase your mental comfort zone. Some friends off and start hanging and make friends with people who, they just think dramatically bigger than you do. So anyway, so that strategy worked. And then somebody said, why don't you just go nationwide? So what they did is they took out formed a club meetup. And so they got people as far away as New York City, clear across the United States. But the people in New York City, and I guess maybe in that little metro area, they were having problems getting bookings. So they didn't have any money, but they scrapped some money together. They flew out to New York. They flew from coast to coast. And then they taught these people how to stage, their apartment, room, house, whatever it was, how to stage it and how to take pictures. And then they really started to take off. Long story short, all three of those guys are still in their 30s. They're probably late 30s now, not 40 yet. And they're billionaires. They went from facing eviction to becoming billionaires with using that one stone of, we got three bedrooms, let's rent them out. That was their stone. That one stone that they used to defeat their Goliath and to move their mountain. So that's what we call the five-stone strategy. All right. Strategy number two. This is based out of the Bible again, Ecclesiastes 11:2. Now, mind you, I haven't set foot physically in the church of God. I mean, I might pop into somebody's online service every now and then. But I physically haven't set foot in the church in years. Or synagogue or mosque. Or I believe you can learn from all of them. But I just, that's not my thing. But these holy books do have some sage financial advice. So Ecclesiastes 11:2. And you can look that up now. Call in if you want to read it out so the rest of us can hear. But I'm going to tell you right then. Now, this is the Bible. You can be a stone-cold atheist. This is some sound business advice right here. It says in Ecclesiastes 11:2, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm not reading out the thing, essentially you need bare minimum, and this was written over 5,000 years ago. You need seven to eight streams of income, seven to eight streams of cash flow. Now, that was advice given 5,000 years ago. If you're relying on a paycheck, or if you got a two-paycheck family, or if one of the people in the paycheck works two jobs, and you work a job, that's three paychecks. No, it says you need, and this is me, I'm sticking my little piece in there, bare minimum, now if we go back to what's written in the book, seven to eight, it doesn't say streams of income, but that's the way I interpreted it. All right. Strategy number three. Proverbs 13:22. Okay, let me go read that. And you know, all right, Proverbs 13:22. It says a good man, and good man represents man or and or woman. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Do whatever you need to do so that your children's children are provided for before they even born. All right, I got to get back to the studio so we can hit the next one. And, okay, give me a moment here. If you guys want any comments, suggestions, enlightenment, what have you. Strategy number four. These are 10 strategies to prevent homelessness. Family wealth, and Delmar America, he's, I don't know if he's listening, but he's an expert on that. Family wealth. This goes to 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. This widow lady, well, she was a widow because her husband died, but her husband left behind some debt. So they came to collect the debt, and they said, look, lady, if you can't satisfy the debt, we're authorized to take your two sons in as slaves and have them work off the debt. She said, look, give me a little time. Let me work this out so I can get you the money. So success strategy number one from that is ask. She asked for more time, she got it. Number two, the next thing is family wealth, because she went to a prophet, Elijah, and Elijah said, well, what do you got at home? Now here comes this It rings all through the Bible, Old and New Testament, or any holy book. Whatever you need to meet your financial need, no matter how big it is, no how intimidating it might be, you have at home, in your home right now, something that will meet that need. She said, well, man, all I got is a little pot of oil. All right. But she had more than that. Now, one of the things we need to do is we need to recognize the blessings that we already have. All right. Number one, she had the pot of oil. That's blessing number one. Blessing number two, actually, blessing number one would be she had good health. Okay. Because if you don't have good health, you can't do any of this stuff. So she had good health. Number two, she had the pot of oil. Number three, she still had a house. Okay. Number four, she had two sons. They lived in the neighborhood. They had community. They had social capital all around them. That's blessing number five. The next thing they did was they formed a family business. Once again, I'm giving you my interpretation on this because she told the sons, look, go around to all the neighbors and gather up all the empty vessels that you can and bring them here to the house. They started a family business. They didn't have enough vessels themselves, so they had to go around to their neighbors. Some neighbors said, I can help you. Some neighbors said, I can't help you. They could have been, then the two sons said, look, I'll take the east side of town, you take the west side of town. Okay, let's go knocking on doors. And they might have knocked on 10, 20 doors before they got one neighbor said, you know what, I don't have nothing, or I got something I can help you out. So they got some people answered the door, some people didn't answer the door. Some people got the door slammed in their face. But whatever they did do, they collected it and brought it back to the house. When they brought it back to the house, she took the oil and she poured it in to each one of the vessels, the empty vessels. And as long as they kept on bringing vessels, empty containers, the oil kept on coming out. Finally, the house was filled up because they took a portion of the house and made it into a warehouse. And she went back to the prophet and said, all right, look, what's the next step? And here's another clue. Get somebody who's been through it that can advise you. There are loads of people on the planet. On Facebook alone, there's 1 billion people a month that log on, and a good portion of those people have been through the storm that you're experiencing. Log in and find them. Instagram's got more people as well. So he said, look, go back and sell it. So in the family business, her and the two sons, they sold, the oil, and then they were able to return the empty vessels. And he said, sell the oil, pay off the debt, and live off the rest. Family wealth. A lot of us discount family because we don't look at them as barometers of wealth. But they are. You just got to work together. Strategy number five. This is what I call the house rent society, and we've talked about the house rent for the last couple of weeks. House wrens are little birds spelled W-R-E-N. They're a little bird, and before mating season, before dating season, before the house male house wren invites the female for Starbucks date, he gets his shit together. I need to put it where the goats can get it. He knows in order to, now this is nature speaking, not me. This is nature. It's encoded in his DNA. that he has got to have a nest, a house, a crib in slang parlance, before he can go calling on women, before he can go dating women. So the house rent will build anywhere from 5 to, let's say, on average, of 11 nests. And then when he's got that complete, then he goes out for the dates. So a prospective female house rent, prospective girlfriend, prospective wife, takes a look at the nest and sees if they're getting to her satisfaction. Now, if nothing meets her satisfaction, he's not going to get together with this female wren for romance. It ain't happening. No, they don't do booty calls. They don't operate that way. That's nature. Look it up, the house wren, mating habits. So if you're facing a foreclosure and eviction, I would suggest learn how to take a carpentry class and learn how to build tiny houses, dog houses, chicken coops. Learn how to build a shed, build something that you can actually live in. Doesn't have to be fancy, but something that you can live in. Build 11 of them. Live in one of them and sell off the rest of them. Or build, all right, if you build 11, excuse me, 11. Build 11, live in one, rent out 5, and then sell 5 for cash. And then do it again. You can do that every month if you wanted to do it. I just gave you a clue for the distinctions, the two little distinctions between you and Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. Hopefully you got it. Strategy number 6. And I'm reading off of my program notes, which are on Blog Talk Radio and the Scrolling Marquee. The Promised Land ain't in Egypt. Most eviction and foreclosure happen because Egypt is symbolic. It's just not a country in Africa. Egypt is symbolic of on the grid, a densely populated area, a highly regulated area when it comes to government and just different rules and regulations for a society or a community. In the United States or around the world, New York City is Egypt. Chicago, Illinois is Egypt. Seattle, Washington is Egypt. Miami, Florida is Egypt. London, England is Egypt. Mumbai in India is Egypt. These are densely populated areas where you find high amounts of homelessness, people broke, and all this other, this, that, and other. Your promised land is not in Egypt. You have to get away from the grid. You have to get away from Egypt and find your own spot. But that might require you to go into the desert. Now, on our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV, It's My House TV at Earth Wealth Forest. Go to that page, and I'm going to show you promised lands all around the globe that exist right now in 2023 and beyond. Okay. Once again, let's go to Facebook. And our Facebook page, is It's My House TV at Earth Wealth Forest. Now, if you scroll down a little bit, Promised Land Locations. Promised Land Locations 2023. All right. And I've got I got some maps here. Let's start with, if you tap on it, let's start from the top and then scroll our way down to the bottom. Let's start with the top. The top is a picture of two maps. And the maps are titled, Nobody Lives Here. The very first map is a map of the continental United States. All the green areas that you see on that map, nobody lives there. I'm saying this on February 1st, 2023. Those are your potential promised lands right now. Then below the continental United States is there's a map of Alaska. The green areas, nobody lives here. And Alaska's over double the size of the state of Texas. We scroll down a little bit more. There's a map of Canada. All the green areas, nobody lives there. Scroll down to the next map. It's a world map. The pink areas, nobody lives there. These areas are your promised land because you can go to these areas and you can start your own community, your own village. Or if you just want to be by yourself, fine. Some of these places are like on the fringes of, you know, within a matter of minutes from larger areas that, you know, do have a lot of human activity or whatever. But if you move to these areas, essentially what I call promised lands, you know, you can have a nice symbiotic relationship by having a debt-free lifestyle where there's a low population or zero population to, you know, anything you want to do in a bigger city. Which it might be 15, 20 minutes away in some cases. In other cases, it might be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours away. It depends on where you want to go. But there's a lot of variety there in choice. So that's the world map. As we scroll down further, the next map, the red areas, this is where you have a lot of Amish communities throughout the continental United States. All those red areas represents counties where Amish have gone to these rural counties, and some of these Amish people are taking in $5 to $10 million a year doing what they do. You know, building furniture, sheds, furniture, baking shoe fly pies, what have you. That's that map. Now, the next map below that is the Mennonite population on a global basis. And you can see you have a lot of Mennonites in many countries worldwide. Below that, there's another map based on the continental United States. Mennonites as a percentage of residents as of 2000. And those purple areas is where you find the Mennonites communities. And below that, Mennonite Church USA, all the colored areas, that's where you find them. And then the last two maps is the 100th Meridian. The 100th Meridian. And what's significant about this is 79% of the population of the United States lives to the right or to the east of the 100th meridian. 79% of the population of the United States. There's a zone on the 100th meridian where just 1% of the population of the United States lives. When I was in college in the panhandle of Texas, I lived in that 1% zone. I didn't know that at the time, but it explains a whole lot. And then once you get to the other side of the 1% of the 100th meridian, you know, to the western side, then that's where you have 20% of the population in the United States lives past that. And there's put it this way, on either side of the parallel, you can find a lot of places where you can, your promised land is there. You're going to have to develop it, though. You know, I buy raw land. And I buy my raw land in those green areas. That's where I buy it. In the green area, or if I can't get into a green area, I get as close as possible. But so far, I've been able to essentially buy in those green areas. And a lot of them are just like, if you need to get to Walmart or something, it might be a 15 to 20, 25-minute drive. Now, if I need to get to in one place where I've got some land in the green pocket areas, the nearest Walmart might be 2.5, 3 hours away. But that's all right. Everything I need is in a little town right, you know, right where, you know, in that pocket. So there are other people there. It's, you know, you're not alone. All right. But those are promised lands. Those are promised land locations 2023. All right. And we'll take you guys on some of those field trips if you guys want to go on. All right. Let's see. Once again, these are strategies. Pick out five of them and work it. All right, let me wait for my phone to populate. So, okay, here we go. All right. The prevention of a foreclosure or prevention of an eviction is a team sport. Just like when you came into this world, you didn't come in here alone. You had a mother and father, that's two people to help create you in the first place. On delivery day, if you were in a hospital, it's your mother, I don't know if your dad could have been in, you know, helping her say push, that's two people. You got a doctor in there, you got some nurses in there, that's a team. When you leave out of this plane of existence, there's another team that helps you transition to the next plane of existence. And getting all through life, it's a team sport. We have over 8 billion people on this planet for which you can organize a team. So if you're in trouble, if you get in trouble facing foreclosure eviction, the first thing you need to do is organize a team. Let's go Bible on you. Jesus, whether you believe him or not, the first thing that he did before he performed any miracles is he organized a team. Now, for those of you who believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, if God has enough sense to organize a team, then don't you think you should do it too? He organized a team of 12 and then started his ministry. You look at all those miracles that were performed. It was he didn't feed 5,000 people by himself. It was him, the 12 disciples, and the cooperation of all these other 5,000 people that were there. He didn't turn water into wine by himself. It was him, the 12 disciples. His mother was there. The servants, he told, look, go. He told the servants what to do. You know, they had to go, whoever had the water supply, they had to deal with that. He had those big metal, or not metal, but stone pots. Jesus was a quarterback in football parlance. In basketball parlance, he was a point guard, a floor general. You got to organize a team. If you're facing no foreclosure, if you want to get out from that foreclosure or that position, you're going to have to organize a team. And our other partners, we won't get around to it today, but we're going to tell you what team members you're going to need. Number 8, Isaiah 65:21. And I'm paraphrasing, but Isaiah 65:21 says, build houses and live in them. Now, mind you, it said build houses or build dwellings and live in them. It did not say buy them. You're going to have to learn how to, if houses aren't your thing, you're going to have to learn how to make something and sell it. Yesterday we played a thing on Mignon Francois. She made cupcakes. She took $5 and turned it into $60, $600, into over $10 million and still counting by making cupcakes. If tiny houses aren't your thing, great. Make cupcakes. If making cupcakes is your thing, make quilts. If quilts is not your thing, find something that you can make to sell. But make it, don't buy it. Let somebody else, you make it and let somebody else buy it. Strategy number nine goes on Genesis 3. This is where Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Now, we've all fell victim to this at one time or another. Let me break it down this way. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Everything they needed to sustain themselves was in that garden. Now, since they're credited to be the first human beings on the planet, that's the whole planet. And the Creator said, you can eat of any tree in this garden, except for this one in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, let's go with trees now. They're over, and somebody can double check me on this, I think they're over 70, let me look it up right now. Let's look at, forgive me. How many species of trees are on the planet? How many species of trees in the world? Okay. All right. Let's see, there are roughly 73,300 species of trees on planet Earth. 73,300 species of trees on Earth. Now, only one of those Adam and Eve couldn't eat from. So let's get the takeaway from this one, this Adam and Eve allegory. When you focus in on negative, when you have the blinders on, and the only thing that you can see is the negative tree, because they walk past over 73,000. Now let's break it down. They walked past 73,299 trees to get to the one that caused them to get evicted from paradise. If you're in what appears to be a negative situation, keep your eyes focused on the abundance that you're surrounded by. They were surrounded by an abundance of trees, forests. And that happens to all of us. But you got to snap out of that, man. Because there were over 73,299 possibilities or solutions that was ready that they could have consumed. And all they need to do is eat from one of them. Genesis chapter 3. Okay, let's see. I got to go back to my studio here. You guys want any comment? And we're going to have retreats on this. But it ain't going to be just sitting around a campfire singing Kumbaya and roasting marshmallows. We're going to be working, executing these strategies. Okay. That was 9. Number 10 of the 10 strategies to prevent homelessness. Number 10, Akon's rule. Akon, A-K-O-N. He's a performer, entertainer, rapper, singer. Go on YouTube and punch in Akon's 10% rule. Essentially, Akon's 10% rule is this. If anything that he's looking to buy, you know, if I don't have 100% of the 10% of the item that I'm trying to buy, he doesn't touch it. Example. If there's a house that he wants to buy or interested in buying and it costs $100,000, if he does not have 10 times that liquid in the bank, $1 million, he won't touch it. He's not going to borrow money. He's not going to get a government guarantee or nothing like that. He's not going to touch it because he already knows with the interest and the maintenance and the unexpected, he more than likely will not be, he'll get in trouble. And that's the simple. And looking at that $100,000 house, you might want to look at a $10,000 house. But let's again, let's apply that rule. You know, do you have $100,000 for the $10,000? You know, if you run a, that's where you need to go build you a house. Because when you build it, it's paid off, it's debt free. Credit. Even good credit is for people who don't have cash. So when you have an A1 credit rating, that's just another way of saying you're broke. I mean, if you think about it, you might have a great credit rating, but you don't have enough money to buy what you want to buy. You're broke. Credit is for people who don't have cash. It's as simple as that. That's why I play the 9 Friends audio on here quite often. Build you some social capital. That's more valuable than anything that any government can print as far as dollars and euros and pesos and all that kind of stuff. All right, well, those are my 10. And as far as maps go, like say, let me get a cartographer to customize one for us. But we'll announce where we'll have these, we'll have Zoom calls and Clubhouse calls and offline retreats where we can actually execute these to help people out. All right, well, let's go to the phone lines real quick here. 309, your line is open. Okay, he might have stepped away. Let's see. Okay. Just got a message, text message. I got to feed the pig at 12. I don't mind doing that. Henry's the resident pet pig around here. But that's another story. Okay. All right. So, okay, Chris Collins, you there? All right. All right. What we, unless Chris pops up or anybody else, I'm trying to find my way back to the studio. All right. So, we'll see. Wednesday. So, Friday, or even tomorrow, we're going to start announcing. Where you can reach us, and if you want to tap in on this stuff, if you're facing eviction, foreclosure, and or any type of financial crisis, how we can implement these strategies. Okay, Chris is somewhere. All right, so. You got a little time, but so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Chris back on mute. And I had a question today, but nobody's called back on that yet. I'm looking at the audio for you to play for you guys. Now, you know what? I'm not going to play that. All right. Not today. All right. So.
Hey, good morning, brother.
Let me see you. All right. How you doing, Chris? Yeah. Any comments?
I'll tell you what. Man, I just want to say thanks because, I mean, you know, you sit here and explain things in so many ways to so many people and give them so many options. And now the one thing I didn't hear was what is there is it two things that I'm supposed to think of that those Mark Zuckerberg and all them had done that anybody can do, or was it something that you had said?
No. I was looking for the answer for the audience, and since you brought it up, you have subtly announced this yesterday and even last year. And I'll put it out there. And the best way I can explain it would be, before I link it to what you've already talked about, and I'd like you to go back into it today, is the cupcake lady, Francois Mignon, how does she take $5 in her grandmother's cupcake recipe and turn it into over $10 million? Here's the thing. It could be cupcakes, dog sheds, tiny houses, toilet paper, whatever
houses.
It might be.
It don't matter.
But, yeah, it could be anything. It can be anything. The thing is, find one thing and then repeat it ad infinitum. Now, I'm linking to what you said because yesterday, and I want you to break it down again today, you said 50 cities. If people, a lot of your problems, a lot of people's financial problems can be solved by a skill set that you already have. The thing is, you've got to think bigger. So when Chris says 50 cities, okay, that's thinking bigger. Just by doing, you can do one thing successfully in one city, and that might, let's say you got a yard sale. And a yard sale, that might net you $500. Okay. But if you partnered up with a collaboration with 50 other people and made, you know, that's $25,000. That you can make in a day or a weekend. You know, Donald Trump's dad, and matter of fact, any billionaire, take anything you're thinking of, that one thing, how many times do you need to do that thing over and over and over again? You're not, you can't do it by yourself now. To equal $1 billion. All Jeff Bezos did, he went from selling books or shoes online to, I mean, all Amazon really is a collaboration of a lot of people with Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, it's all their items.
You know, if you contact
out there doing
Chris,
the work.
Right. Right. So, yeah, Chris, when you brought up 50 cities.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's thinking bigger than most people. So, imagine if somebody went out there and, now I'm not – learn from Chris with one or two projects first and then scale it from there.
Correct.
And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't matter what it is. Cupcakes, shoes, anything you can think of. The thing is, pick something and then you're going to have to collaborate with other people. And now, some people are comfortable with just one other person. That's fine. I mean, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards do pretty well themselves. You know, when the Beatles were together, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, they were the primary songwriters of the majority of the Beatles hits. Two people. Yeah. Right? And they had Ringo and George Harrison helping, a collaboration of four. You don't need a whole lot of people. But the thing is, whoever... partner up, but collaborate with... He had two bread and butter price houses, one for $3,900, $3,999, and one for $4,999. But he did that over 27,000 times. Take something simple. You can't get any simpler than a cupcake. I mean,
okay.
There are people selling cow manure and making millions. So, and that might not be your goal, but I'm just saying, if you a financial mountain to get through, is something that
there's a nice
you have
example
access
that.
To, that you just have to, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a nice example of that there in Las Vegas. All of the casinos and the buffets and all this, they have a whole bunch of extra food. And what a guy did is he had this huge – well, he had a pig farm. Now he's got a huge pig farm. And he goes in and he gets all of the food scrap. And he comes out and he feeds the pigs. And then he sells the pigs back to the casinos. So he's getting them fed, and he's getting fed. But he keeps feeding the people that keep showing up. But he did figure out some things on utilizing the resources that are in your city to do something and move things forward. And
right.
The city went along with it. You know, the casinos
now,
went along with it because they were paying to get rid of it.
Okay. Chris, now on Clubhouse, are you having any rooms where if people are interested in being in one of your, 50 cities.
I haven't done any of those rooms yet, but I want to.
Okay.
I have not done any of those rooms, but I would like to. I'm ready to get started doing that. We do have – I've had some people that have stepped up to moderate. So I would like to start the room up and try to run it as long as it can run every day, and hopefully we'll be able to run 24 hours a day and never shut it down.
All right. What's today's the first, so let's say tomorrow's the second. Pick a time, and at least I'll show up. That's one person.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna check on that today. Let's say, all right.
Okay.
Let's say, if I was gonna pick a time for tomorrow, I would say 4 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay, that'll be 5 my way. Okay, if 5 works for me.
5 your way.
And that's a good time to be on Clubhouse too. Because I know some people start rooms like at 4 o'clock. And it seems like 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. seems like they're prime hours for people on Clubhouse. And a p.m.
They start a lot of rooms get started at that time.
Yeah. So, all right, I'll be there tomorrow at that time. Let's see. But other than that, let's see. That's all I got for people for today.
Tell them how they can order houses. You know, because
give us that information.
You know, you can call me at 309-542-6319. You can go to the website, hopeforhousing.org, or you can go to hopeforhousing.com. And, you know, you can go to Instagram, Chris Collins. It's Chris_Hope_Collins on Instagram. I do have a Twitter feed, but I'm not even sure what it is at the moment. I'm not on there very much, but, you know, you can text me.
Well, you're
me.
On Clubhouse, I know the most, right?
Yeah, Clubhouse, you know, I'm reaching the world on Clubhouse, and it's such a great platform to always be able to have an audience and to grow into an audience. And
right.
we've got some heavy hitters that are great moderators. That, you know, they have excellent rooms with big followings. So not necessarily am I going to want to do this in my room, because I only got 560 people or something, you know, following my room. But if I go over to a room that's got 500,000 people, like the Hustler Club, and I'm a member, I can start running.
But isn't it kind of hard to get on the stage in those real massive rooms like that?
No, not if you're known. You know, if they know you, if you have a bio, that's the one key thing. You know, have something in your bio, have your IGs and stuff in there, so they can see that you're real. If you're a real person, you know, they let you on. You know, I've been on since February of last year. You know, this is coming on my year too. So my 2 years this year. But, you know, I don't know. That thing gives me positive affirmations in the morning to start out my day. And it seems
That, well, that's how we met. We met in one of those rooms.
That's how we met.
Room, yeah.
Right.
Right.
We met in the gratitude room.
Right.
And I'm so grateful to be able to have that and have you, you know. I felt like I've been looking for you forever, and I finally found you, and I try to be there and be with you every day, even though we're separated right at the moment.
And I surely appreciate that support. I definitely appreciate it. Whatnot. But all right, well, tomorrow at 4 p.m. Yeah, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
Then we'll announce the room where they can go on Clubhouse tomorrow to find that room. And matter of fact, I was building up a room. I think I'm going to launch it, though, this week. For this weekend, it's got 105 people. Small, but you know, something that I can just build from that. So, I stopped going to those really big rooms.
Me too. I don't go into the big rooms. I like the small, intimate rooms.
Yeah.
And what's nice is, you know, we've been doing these small intimate rooms in this room called Inspire Nation, this house.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage people to go to it because it's full of podcasters, but it's full of people. And all the podcasters want to help share people's messages, you know. So it's just a huge connection room, but it's also a positive room. There is no one going to talk down to anybody. Came in there yesterday, and I'm sitting there talking, and this guy, he comes on telling me to shut up. And
they do have trolls on. They got trolls on. They got trolls all over the internet, though.
They do. And the thing was, is we just chuckled. You know, I laughed about it. I was like, I said, I must have said something that really hit home to him, huh? Everybody in the room reacted, right? So, you know, it's nice, safe space, but we're here to inspire the nation, and it's any nation, not just this nation. It's all nations. So we have a worldwide room right there. We had Scotland in there yesterday. It was beautiful. I mean, we had people from all over the world in there. And we had a lot of people from the United States as well. But, I mean, I think the room wound up having, we might have got 500 people in the room all together, you know. And this room started out with just three of us, you know. So not all at the same time, but that's what came through the room. But, you know, when we're standing there holding.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, it was great. He had his biggest room, you know. doing it. But that guy is he's in Alaska, so he's an inspiration because he's out there in the woods right now. And he is doing the rural thing. He is off the grid living, but he's sitting there having rooms on Clubhouse, you know.
So all
he's
right.
connected.
All right, well. We're going to wrap it up for today, Chris, and we'll be looking forward to tomorrow and the room so we can elevate ourselves to that 50 cities plus, and everyone have a good
day. Oh, here, I got one more to add to that before we stop.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I'm ready. Yeah, we're here. Oh, man. Wait a minute. Let me get them back. Doggone it. Let me get him back. Let's see. Where is he? Let's see. Okay, wait a minute. Let's see if I can get him back on. All right. Still on. Okay. Okay, let me see if he pops back up. All right, we're still here. And all right, I sent him a text that we're... Okay, here we go. Yeah, Chris. Well, all right, we're here. Now, man, what happened? Okay. Well, if he doesn't call back in, really, I guess we'll catch him tomorrow. Okay, Juan, anybody got anything to add on? Press 1. If not, we'll, as soon as I find the sign-off music. Okay. All right, well, guess we'll see you tomorrow.